Lord, in mercy on every single one of us. Come, wash me in the blood, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Anoint my whole being, keep us under the blood, sanctify the whole of the sanctuary with the blood of Christ and the powers of darkness, break the hardest heart, take away prejudice, take away lies of the devil that have come in the hearts of men to stop God from meeting with them. Rebuke thou thyself, the devil, away, and come by the Holy Ghost, visit every heart here tonight to this base, weak, despised man. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. I ask this from my soul. Amen. In Exodus 20:13, and you need not look it up, the Ten Commandments, we read these words from God to man. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. There are many injustices. There are many injustices we all will have to face in life. There are many injustices we all will have to face in life. But throughout the ages, the injustice of murder, throughout the ages, the injustice of murder remains the greatest. For a life to be taken is a great injustice indeed. Murder may sound horrifying to you, but when one of your family is murdered, then that injustice creates anger and torment and grief beyond comprehension. I had a relative years ago who was a very beautiful girl. Her parents had great wealth, and she was their darling. She really was a very dear person to everyone, with the most loving and gentle nature. She was a dear, dear girl. Then she married someone who brought great grief into that family. She married someone that brought great grief into that family. She had heard that I had been saved, and that I had forsaken everything in life to preach the gospel to men. Through circumstances, I had not seen her for a few years through the distance between our homes and our land. I had not seen her for a few years. And she phoned me one day, and she asked me earnestly over the phone about salvation, about Christianity, about heaven, about hell, about forgiveness, of how to know that we face no judgment. But 2 hours she spoke questioning and questioning with such earnestness as on and on. I had no idea that her life was in great danger as she spoke. 3 days later, she was dead, murdered by her husband, who was a very aggressive man. Oh, the grief that fell on that home. Oh, the pain of losing their darling. Murdered. The trial, the court case came, and that family aged. They aged as the days went by. They aged years sitting in that building, listening to the gruesome things. The pain they went through in that court case aged them. But then the great shock of all was when that man walked out scot-free. His defense lawyer, so wise, so sharp of mind and tongue, and the wisdom to just take the floor and wipe the floor of it. This man gave arguments of the circumstances of that home, and that this man was under the influence of alcohol when he killed his wife. And it seems you can get away with murder in many countries if you're just drunk when you do it. He walked away from that court case, that trial of a murder everyone knew he committed, as if he had done nothing, with no punishment, as if he had done no wrong on earth. He walked out and he's free to this day. It was a while later that I stood with her father and her mother. And when I saw how they had aged, I began weeping. Before they opened their lips, I just began weeping when I saw what had been robbed of their life through this murder of their daughter by this evil man. I looked at them and I trembled that life could have been robbed from them through this injustice. And tears came down their eyes as they saw tears welling up in mine. And they looked at me and said these words, "There's no justice in this world, Keith. There's no justice left in this world, Keith." And I said, "Wait. Wait. Another day of reckoning waits for him. He will stand soon before another judge. He will face trial soon again. He will stand soon before God in a moment. This moment called life. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. I'm writing a book. This moment called life. That's all you've got. It's a moment. Before it started, it's gone. If you don't know it yet, wait. I know it. That's why I'm clinging with every opportunity with both hands. It's almost gone, my moment. It's a moment. He will stand trial again, and this time the judge will judge righteously. I said to that father and mother, this time the judge will judge righteously. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. Don't doubt it, world. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. Revelation 20 verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, I saw the dead, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. The dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books according to their works. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no peace day or night. There is no end to God's judgment. There is an end to every day you will enter, but there will never be an end to God's judgment, sir. They will never ever cease the torment and the judgment of God upon the soul that sinneth. That's Revelation 20, verse 11. For want of time, I miss all the verses of 21. I come to verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But wait now, we must remember that one of the men that hung on the cross next to Jesus was a murderer. We must remember that one of the men that hung on the cross next to Jesus was a murderer, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung in men's judgment for his murder. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, and his soul was immediately saved. His sins were immediately forgiven, though he was a murderer. Oh friend, God's blood was shed even for those who caused such pain to so many by having done such an evil as to have taken a life. You see, he tasted death for every man, this book says. He tasted death for every man, even a murderer. There's no sin God did not die for, to forgive. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. He will in no wise turn away anyone who comes to him through Christ Jesus. How could he? He tasted death for every man, and therefore he will in no wise turn away anyone who comes to him through Christ. He cannot. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. I visited a man in prison who had killed his wife and his children. He had murdered his wife and his children. He was a policeman. And his mother and father phoned me from across the other side of the land and said they'd heard my ministry on some tapes or other or videos, I don't know. And they begged me, please go and see our son, sir. Help him to find mercy with God. He was in a prison, a part attached, where they were under psychological observation, pending the trial, so that evidence could be given psychologically whether they are mentally stable after what they've done to even face judgment. So he was there pending this trial that he was awaiting for killing his wife and children, whether he was even mentally right. And they led me in. And there he sat, a broken man. And I told him that his father and mother had contacted me and asked me to come for one reason, and I didn't want to give any other reason, for I knew I had very little time I would be given him, to tell him of God's salvation. And I began. I told him of God's love and mercy and forgiveness that was his in spite of what he'd done. You know, there were men standing. They wouldn't leave me alone with him. These policemen listening at four corners. He was only able to sit across a large table. That I had to speak there to listen to every word, these men. And they looked at me as this man leaned forward and tears went down his face. And he said, sir, do you honestly believe that God could forgive someone like me after what I've done? Do you honestly believe that? I looked up at these policemen. One had tears coming down his face, just looking at the torment of this murderer. And he looked at me, and everyone looked at me waiting. There was more than one man I was speaking to in that room, don't doubt it. I said, as I answered him, man may never be able to forgive you for the injustice you've done and the harm, the hurt, the pain you've caused them. Man may never be able to forgive you. You may have to face man's judgment in this life. You may have to face their judgment. But listen carefully now about God. If you truly repent and you confess your sin to God and seek Him for mercy, if you seek Him for mercy for what you've done, to be justified by God, though no judge might justify your actions, though no judge might forgive you, though no man might forgive you, if you seek God through the shed blood of Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith in His blood, being justified freely by grace through faith in His blood, if you come to be justified for justification from God the judge, He will never judge you. You will face no judgment from God. He will in no wise turn away anyone, for He tasted death for every man, including you. Or the Bible lies. When I was a boy, I had a friend who was kicked to death by young thugs, old enough to face prison sentences, cowards. We called them ducktails those days. Suppose something to do with the hairstyles. You don't want to know those days how people expressed they were rebels and didn't care about society's ethical code of decency. They always did things in gangs together. They never had the courage to fight anyone alone, and they always knew they would win when they did fight. And they would go and gatecrash parties. In the world they had parties that you didn't want to know about. Thank God you don't. Those days you were not taking a chance with your life by going to a party. Today you may as well sign your death warrant, it's so dangerous. But those days you could still go to a party that had some form of innocency and naiveness going on. amongst the unsaved who weren't defiled yet to the degree the world is today. But that friend of mine was in that party, a young teenage boy, and these DuckTales gate crashed. They weren't invited, and they pushed through, and the troubles broke out, and eventually he came out in the street looking for what's going on. And well, they just grabbed him and they kicked him and they kicked him and they kicked him and they kicked him until blood just spread. When you want blood, nothing satisfies you once you start getting it. Nothing stops you. Oh, sin is evil. It makes you evil if you allow it to. You have no idea what you will want if you allow sin to take over willingly. And take away the reserves of conscience just to show yourself a rebel. And then the leader, old enough to face prison, still young, he had a knuckle dust, as we called it. These steel things across came like rather near hands with big knobs, and he went down to this boy whose blood was like a pool all around. They don't know if he was dead then, but he took and he plunged it into his skull to make sure, because he walked out to see what was going on. That was his crime, the reason they had to kill him with hatred and venom. Oh, how evil sin can be. But then the shock came to our neighborhood, our town, where this sort of thing didn't happen those days. It's a shock, the fear that such a thing could happen. I was a boy. The shock came when at the trial, that defense lawyer, his attorney, was so shocked, so wise. That boy, that man, walked out of that door free. The family made sure they got the best lawyer in the land. He walked out free. Till this day, as if he'd done nothing. Can you believe it? Can you believe our world is in such a state? 40 years went by, sitting in my darling mother's home in Durban. She's in her 80s. She loves God with her whole being. And there was an elderly lady sitting visiting my mother, who befriended my mother and had heard I was a preacher. But she's unsaved, this woman, and I sensed it, and I began to speak about God, and I began to sense she's getting more and more agitated and became angry as I was speaking, and I couldn't work out what's going on here. She said, God will forgive any sin. I said, any sin, doesn't matter what a man has done, God has made in his love provision, knowing the powers of the devil that would be a result of the fall. God faced death for every man for whatever sin he committed. He had to. He so loved man. If that man truly repents, that woman stood up and she became so angry, she said, will he forgive my son's murderer? And she burst into tears. Will your God forgive him? My son, his murderer, walked unpunished, free, as if he'd done nothing. And you telling me he's going to walk away from God free as if he'd done nothing? I am angry with God, my boy. I have been angry with God the way God let my boy die so violently. I've been angry with God every day of my life. I'm angry. I will be more angry with your God than ever before if what you're saying is true. Don't you tell me that boy is going to be forgiven or has a hope of forgiveness. I said, what was your son's name? She told me. I said, I was his friend. We rode cycles together. She sat down.
You knew my son. And she sobbed. You knew my boy. The hurt never heals. Never heals. It was as hurtful 40 years later as the day it happened.
Oh, murder is a terrible injustice to do to a mother or a father. I said, lady, I cannot judge you. I cannot expect you to say you would want his forgiveness. But if your son's murderer sought God with his whole heart in repentance and remorse for forgiveness, and he looks by grace, he looks to faith in the blood, the death of Christ, God has promised he will save even him, like he saved the murderer on the cross, who just looked to him and cried from his soul, "Remember me." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God has promised. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Every man can come, turn ye from your evil way. Why will you die? God cries to man. What more can I do? Seek ye the Lord, and while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man is sought, and let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. To our God he will abundantly pardon. Oh, but seek the Lord while he may be found. If your son's murderer seeks God while he may be found, while he's alive, your son's murderer will be forgiven and he will go to heaven. But if he doesn't, he will face vengeance from God, for judgment is mine. Vengeance is mine, God says. Don't doubt it. And I said, lady, if you had a glimpse right now of 1 minute of what your son's murderer will be facing for eternity, if he doesn't repent, you will want him to repent. I guarantee you, if you just saw hell for 1 minute, you would want your worst enemy to be saved from that, no matter what he did. I guarantee you, you'd change. And listen carefully, lady. If God will forgive every sin you've ever committed, and he will blot it out in such a way that he will forget, that you will never face judgment for any sin you ever committed in life, then God will also forgive your son's murderer. And if God does forgive you, by his grace, when you have sensed and know the forgiveness of God, of any judgment that will ever have faced you is gone, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're saved. We know we've passed from death unto life, the Bible says. You don't doubt when you're saved. You know the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're born of God, that we're God's children. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that is not the Son of God hath not life. See, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. When you know, when the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're God's child, that you've passed from death, and that there's no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus. When you know you face no judgment, that you're justified freely by faith through grace, by grace through faith in his blood. When you know, and the Spirit bears witness with you, that you face no judgment from God ever for all eternity, no matter what you've done in life, then you will want even your son's murderer, I guarantee you, to know forgiveness. I cannot expect you to forgive him before that, but when you found forgiveness for your sins, Christ in you will give you grace to want even your son's murderer to know that forgiveness. I guarantee your whole heart will change, for he that's forgiven finds grace to forgive. And he that's forgiven much finds grace to love God so much he'll forgive anybody that God loved and died for. There is another great injustice when it comes to judgment being proclaimed on murderers. There is another great injustice when it comes to judgment being proclaimed on murderers. Men who have faced the electric chair in their scores and scores, men who have hung till they died, And then further evidence came after they had been put to death, being judged for a crime that proved they had not committed that crime. In our lifetime, so many multitudes have faced death that never committed it, and it was found again and again afterwards beyond any doubt, as further evidence came to light, that they were not guilty. There have been cases where men were judged for crimes they never committed, and it has been found out again and again and again and again and again and again that they were not guilty, though they were judged for having done it as if they had done, they were killed. Oh, what horror it must be. Can you imagine the injustice of knowing you are being punished for a crime you never did, that your life has been taken for a murder you never committed? Can you imagine those men's hearts at the injustice of being judged for something they had never done? I know of another man. I know of a man who was judged for things he didn't do. He was punished and he suffered the judgment of other people's crimes. He faced the death penalty for murders he had never committed, for rapes he had never performed, for thefts he had never committed, for lies he had never told, for many great evils he had never done. He died, the Bible says, the just for the unjust. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah says in chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not one of you did not nail Christ to the cross. Not one of you would have ever gone to heaven and faced no judgment unless Christ had gone to the cross. We all nailed Christ to the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one, God says. Not one. All your righteousness is as filthy rags in my sight, God says, if you dare to believe that you have any righteousness that could get you to heaven. Outside of the righteousnesses of God by faith through grace in Christ's blood. Your greatest sin, sir, will to ever believe you were good enough to go to heaven on your own righteousness. That's so great a sin, because Christ then died for nothing for you, and he made a mistake in his judgment of you. That's a terrible sin. Oh, that's a terrible sin. That he might be just and the justifier of all men that believe on him. That he might be just and the justifier, just in his judgment of justifying you, he died for you. God placed all the judgment of eternity that you would have faced on Jesus Christ, not only for you, but for me, for every soul here, every soul in this whole community, for every soul that murdered, for every soul that raped, for every soul that has committed indecencies and atrocities. Christ died knowing what they did for them. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. The just for the unjust. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, that he might bring us to God. The just for the unjust. God says, oh, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith, God says. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In one moment, by grace, through faith, God declares you righteous by your faith in the death, the blood of Jesus, who tasted death for every man, the just for the unjust. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in one moment, no matter what we've done. When we come, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. He will in no wise turn away any one who comes to him with the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. When did you come? When did you come? When did you come? When did you come? With the that was placed on Christ for you by faith. When did you come for the punishment, for the torment? Do you know something, sir? Men have faced worse death than Christ. Where men have faced the worst death than Christ. Men in the Old Testament, according to the New Testament, sawn asunder. That means they, while they lived, they were simply laid down, a sword taken, and their body ripped off. Their limbs live while they live. Limbs ripped out, ripped in half, ripped apart. You wouldn't have been able to even think or comprehend what that could have been in death. But let me assure you this. No man tasted such torment and suffering as Jesus. For somehow God, and I don't know how, but believe this with all your heart, for God tells us, every bit of suffering you would have known for all eternity, for every sin you ever committed, He suffered for. And not only you, but every single soul. He tasted death for every man. That death was eternal death. Not just the death that comes with loss physically. Every moment of eternal torment, God was satisfied. God was satisfied. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see a sea, He shall see the travail of His soul. And He shall be satisfied. When you come with the blood of Jesus, you come with every bit of payment you would have paid for all eternity. Do you know how much God loves you? No wonder there's a hell. To those who will not come, He will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Oh, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What must I do to be saved, you may say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on His blood. Believe on His payment for you. Believe He died for you. Believe every bit of torment and judgment that would have come on you came on Him totally for all eternity. Somehow God, no man could ever comprehend what suffering God, as He cried out in the darkness covering the sky, why hast thou forsaken me? God, as He saw all the sin of man coming, forsook His Son. It was so great. It was so great. God forsook His Son. He forsook Him. It was such an avalanche of a tidal wave that rose up against Christ that God turned His back on Him. He so loved you. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death. Death came physically upon man through sin, but in its context, Romans 6:23, the wages, the just reward of a life of unrepentant sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God, where the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no peace day or night. But the gift of God, the free gift of God that you can't work for, you just have to accept by grace. You just have to take by faith. That's all you can do. Say, I accept it. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's no mediator between God and man but the name of Jesus Christ. There's no mercy. There's no door. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. Don't go any other way. Don't go through religion. Don't go through separation. Don't go through works. Don't go through sacrifices. He made the sacrifice. Just come through Christ and He will not turn away anyone who comes by grace and just grant it from His heart. In faith and said, it was for me. I'll save you. I will be satisfied only when you come, but I don't care what you've done. Every sin you've committed will be utterly forgiven and forgotten. There remaineth no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who God takes hold of and transforms, but oh, that's just the fruit. That's not the way of salvation. The salvation of God is by grace through faith, believe me. believe me, dear, dear, dear brethren. But listen carefully now. You may never have committed murder. You may never have committed murder. But your sin nailed Jesus Christ to the cross as much as the murderers did. That's a shock, isn't it? He didn't die a little bit more pain for the murderer than he did for you. That's a shock. How can that be? You see, in our eyes, we're so fallen. There's big sins and there's little sins. In God's sight, there's sin. Full stop. You will go to the same suffering and torment that a murderer went to, sir, or a rapist, or a pervert. You will be in the same judgment. He will face no more than you, no more torment, and the torment Christ faced for the murderer is no more than he faced for you who committed no murder. That could offend you, couldn't it? Well, then you're offended what God says. Listen carefully. How God sees sin, not how we see sin. Not how we see sin. Your sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Matthew 5 verse 21. You have heard that it was written, that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, Jesus said, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Oh my. John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You don't have to physically kill someone, sir. In God's eyes, you are a murderer. You've done it. Your sin is as evil. In God's eyes, sin is so different to how we judge man. In God's eyes, sin is so evil as he sees the hatred and the sin in your heart of the anger you have to someone, the hatred you have for someone unjustly, that God says you are as guilty, you have committed as much crime in my sight as a man who had taken a knife and plunged it through 40 times in venom. Don't doubt that. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He goes on, sin upon sin. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye do cause thee to offend, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand do cause thee to offend, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Oh, sin is sin, and it's evil as God looks at your heart. As God looks at your heart. Virtually every sin in the Old Testament, virtually every sin that condemns a man to death in the Old Testament may never have been committed by you physically, but in the light of the New Testament you stand guilty of so much that will condemn you on the name of judgment as if you did that sin. As God looks at your heart, as God looks at a man's heart lusting after a woman, it's so evil what he sees. There's no more wickedness going to that woman and physically doing it. It is just as wicked what God sees going on in the heart and mind as God looks at the heart of hatred and venom and vengeance and the evil behind it. There's no more sin killing a man than what you're feeling in your heart. God looks at our hearts as our thoughts. Every sin you can name in your life, Christ had to die for, as much as he had to die for the man who physically did these things that shock us. Because he's holy. And we're not. God judged his son to save you, but you must accept the gift of eternal life as desperately as any man who has committed atrocities that God condemns in the Bible. For in the same verse that God says all, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, your sins are too evil for a decent people to even think men can commit. murderers, whoremongers, adulterers, idolaters, sorcerers, and all liars. Have you noticed that? Murderers, abominable, whoremongers, the same sentence, all liars. All liars. My mother was the last in our home to be saved. Do you know why? She lived a higher standard than most Christians I've met in her unsaved days of decency and integrity. Don't doubt it. I still marvel at my mother's life now. When we were saved, we longed for her to come to Christ, you know. And one night she just couldn't take any more, and she said, "Don't think I don't know that you're trying to tell me I'm going to hell. But you better stop, because God has no right to send me to hell. I'm not a sinner, Keith. I can understand why God would have sent you to hell if you hadn't got saved. And I thank God from my heart for saving you and transforming you. There's in a moment of my life I'm thanking Him. And your father would have gone to hell. I've no doubt of that. He deserved it. If God hadn't saved him, and I thank God he saved. And your brother. But Keith, what is my sin that you people trying to tell me now in your own way that I am now going to that hell if I don't come to God the way you have? What do I repent of? I've never touched a cigarette in my life like other women have. I have never ever touched alcohol in my life, even at the weddings, Keith, that I had to go with. There's champagne in the world, you know. I don't know what champagne tastes like. I've never sworn a dirty word in my life. I've never sworn a word in my life that is indecent. I've never heard a dirty joke to its end without walking away from a child. Your father was my childhood sweetheart. Go to him. Ask my brothers, my sisters. I've never sat through or listened to a dirty joke that's questionable. I walked away from a child to this day beneath me. Whatever your father did, Keith, I never let a man near me. I never looked at another man. I never looked once at another man. Men looked at me, Keith. I never thought I'd stoop to tell you, but I'm telling you now. Men tried. I said to everyone, get away from me. Only your father touched me in my life, Keith. I was never unfaithful to him, no matter what he did to me. Whatever you boys did, whatever became of you, in your rebelliousness that aged me, Keith, point your finger to me and tell me one thing in my life that made you do what you did. Tell me what to repent of. I can't smash the bottles of drink like your father did. I've never touched drink. I can't throw down cigarettes like your father did. He smoked 60 a day. I haven't ever touched it. I can't stop swearing. I can't stop being unfaithful because I never was unfaithful. I can't stop dirty jokes or questionable magazines or novels. How can you tell me God will send me to judgment? I'm not a sinner. You deserved it, Keith. Your father, your brother, you needed salvation. But what do I repent of? What do I come to God for mercy for? I'm not a sinner. You know, I didn't have an answer in my ignorance. I stood and I marveled. My mouth fell open and I looked and I marveled as she stood there, though I was saved, at her life, though she was unsaved. I marveled at the mother God had given me. But do you know what God did? He brought other missionaries from across Africa into our home within days who listened to this argument, who sensed this is what they said. And says, Daniel, God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. God says. If we confess our sins, that's not just one continual. There's a moment of such an encounter with God when I come. Oh, not saying I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, but oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see nothing but the fact that you're a sinner. To this man, he will walk back to his house justified, not the religious who can't put himself into the category of someone facing judgment, not the good who thanks God he's not like other men are, who are facing judgment, to cry to God for mercy. Oh no. If we confess in such a way, our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, the next verse says. We're calling God a liar if we say we're not sinned, that we don't have to confess, that we don't have to come as the publican did, say, I'm the sinner, I'm the one, I'm going to hell, God, I have to come to mercy, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Until you do that, no matter how much you stand in life thanking God, you're not as other men, as the rich, the religious Pharisee was, who was never justified, he went to hell with all his goodness. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Jesus said, the one who just saw himself as a sinner, all have sinned, there's none righteous, no, not one, all your righteousness becomes as filth. That's a terrible word that God says. It isn't bad that you were clean, that you were noble, but all that becomes filthy, 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 filth, if you dare to trust in it. Only the blood of Jesus, by grace through faith in one moment. You know, my mother was so shaken by what that woman said that my mother suddenly lost all speech. Silence. Silence. She didn't enter a conversation. We just looked at her. My mother came under worse conviction than I had with all my sin. My father had. None of us went under the torment. Suddenly this woman came under such darkness, such fear. I don't know what God convicted her of. The white lies when she realized all liars have nailed Christ to the cross as much as the murderer. In God's eyes, her sinners as evil. I don't know how God showed her, but whatever she had done that we don't know made her one night come out in a meeting and pray. We didn't watch her pray. We don't know what she prayed with the ladies that prayed with her, but I know this. When my mother came out, we didn't see her repent like my father and me, throwing things out, and like my brother stopped drinking, smoking, swearing, all the things going on to the change. We didn't see that, but what did we see? I saw in my mother's eyes as she walked out of that room, peace that passes all understanding. Have you got it? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit, with all your righteousness, that you're not facing the same hell as the murderer ever? Because you will be, unless the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you know you've passed from death unto life. And if you don't know, you haven't. If you don't know you're saved, you're not saved. Do you honestly believe God torments a soul when they're born of God and doesn't bear witness with their spirit that they're born of God? That you know you have eternal life. Do you honestly believe God would do that after the price he paid when you embrace it? Leave you still in torment of judgment? Fear? No. My mother came out and began to love this book and to testify in her own refined way, in a way that has created such respect for her in my land. Listen, I have to read this, but please listen. In 1830, in the United States of America, a man named George Wilson was sentenced to be hung for robbery and murder. But then Andrew Jackson, the President of America, granted him a pardon, what we call a presidential pardon. In most countries of the world, they can go beyond as they look at circumstances of the whole background of a man as to why he committed that crime. And they can go beyond even the High Court and the judge's decision and grant him a pardon and not face death. George Wilson was sentenced to be hung for murder, but Andrew Jackson granted him a pardon. But he shook the nation and he refused to accept it. He insisted unless he accepts it, he cannot be pardoned. Unless he accepts it, he cannot be pardoned. The Attorney General eventually said the law was silent on this matter, and he referred it to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall, the highest judge in the land, gave this following decision. A pardon, he said, is only a piece of paper, even if it's from the President of the United States. The value of it depends on its acceptance by the person implicated only. It is hardly to be supposed that one under such a sentence of death would refuse to accept this offer. But if it is refused, it is no longer a pardon of any worth. George Wilson must therefore be hung and face death for the crimes he has committed. Justice demands it, though he could have been forgiven of any judgment at all. And he died. He died for a crime he wouldn't accept mercy for, the way it was offered. Psalm 9, verse 7, "He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness." He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In one moment, tonight, for all eternity, you will face no judgment through that moment. But if you refuse it, God may never offer it in a way so clearly as tonight again to you that would make you seek him with your whole heart like my mother, who had never sworn a dirty word or heard a dirty joke to its end in her life, but knew she was going to hell and she fled for mercy while it was found, while it was able to be found. Oh, for God's sake and for your soul's sake, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I ask you from my soul, did Christ die for you for nothing? Because until you come by faith and accept salvation and justification, he died for you for nothing. He faced the torment of your death for nothing, because you're going to face it anyway. Let's bow our heads, please. Under the blood of Christ, please, Father. I want to ask you tonight tenderly to do something that will cost you, but it will cost you a billion times more if you don't pay this price tonight. I want to ask you from my soul, for Jesus Christ's sake, who paid that price and is waiting, watching you now, whether it was for nothing. Whether you, like George Wilson, will say, "I don't want it, though it's offered me. I will face that judgment," because of pride, perhaps you here tonight, of religion, of background, of goodness, of things you didn't do. You may never have murdered, like my mother. You may have never sworn, but you're going to the same judgment. You paid the same, Christ paid the same torment as the murderer, because sin is sin. In his eyes, though we don't understand how it's so evil in his eyes, even liars in God's eyes, I want every single one of you sitting here tonight who the Holy Spirit does not bear witness with your spirit that you have been justified by God for eternity, that you will face no judgment on the day of judgment when the books will be opened, and that which has not been washed out with the blood of Christ by your faith in seeking God, you will be accountable for, and there will never be a mercy shown to you for all eternity. God can never show mercy to a soul once you die. God can never show mercy to you again, no matter how you cry. And you don't know if you'll be dead tonight. I've known whole families, on occasion upon occasion, before they got home from the church I preached in, were dead. Though I begged for them to come to God, they lay dead. How do you know? How do you know this is not God's final call? How can you take a chance for eternity when God has paid such a price? I want to ask every one of you, bury your pride. Every one of us had to pay this price. Every one of us had to come this way. No man will judge you. I want to ask every single person here, for God's sake, who died such a death for you, don't turn it away. This offer of eternal life and forgiveness and justification by your faith tonight in His blood, as you come with nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing in my hands I bring, not my religion or my good works. Simply to the cross. Tonight, God, I cling, and God will save you. He will save you. He will not find a capability, though He's God, of turning you away. He will in no wise. He is incapable, literally, of turning away anyone who comes to Him through Christ Jesus when He looks at the price His Son paid for you out of love for you. If you're willing to come to be justified by this God for every sin you've ever committed and face no judgment, no condemnation, and know by the Holy Spirit as He bears witness with your spirit that you're saved from any judgment. If you need desperately for God to save your soul, and you're willing to come and not like that man turn away forgiveness and face judgment in folly. If you're willing for that tonight, I ask you from my soul, whoever you are, whatever it cost you, as much as it cost my mother to come out, as good as she was, she came and she's going to heaven. She knew peace from that moment to you. That passes all on. Will you walk away from this again and take a chance with your soul for eternity, thinking God might give you another chance? I ask every single person here tonight who knows they're not justified by grace through faith, that they will face trial, no matter how much religion was in their life, no matter how much good they can point to that others have done, have never done. God will turn you to the same judgment as those others, no matter how much religion you have. Come with Christ tonight for God's sake. For His death is the only thing God wants from you to embrace in truth. I want those of you who need to come to God to be justified and saved, that the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit tonight, that you know you face no condemnation. I want those of you who know you need to do that to please do something very courageous yet tonight. But I ask you from my soul, I want you to stand. And I want you to stand now and say, it's me, God. And everyone that stands is going to be taken to be prayed with. And you're going to call upon God tonight to save your soul. I want you, please, as our heads are bowed, stand now. Take courage and say, here I come, God, it's me. Thank you. Keep standing. Let's just wait now. Thank you. Let's just wait now. Yes, thank you. Keep standing. Yes, yes. The valley of decision. Thank you. I see you. Come, what young person here, their parents, their brothers, their sisters are weeping for so long, crying to God for your soul because you could be cut off though you're in that home as religious. Won't you come, stand now? Thank you, young man. Yes, God's watching. Girls, are you all saved? Won't you seek God tonight? Come, if you know the Spirit doesn't bear witness, come stand now with all those that are standing. Seek God. Mothers, mothers who... children have been born of God and they fear for you because your time's running out. Do you honestly think God will carry on pleading with you if you turn away after this? What more can He do? Will you please not seek God? Come stand, mother, father. Yes, yes. Yes. Oh, I'm not hurrying you. No one is. We're just praying and we love you for wanting Christ. No one will judge you. Come, stay standing, everyone that stood. Please don't sit. Come stand. Don't lose courage now. You stay standing. Once more. One final call. Do you say no? Yes. Thank you. Come, all of you standing, just move out as our heads are bowed. Move through the aisles. It doesn't matter if you've pushed past. Come stand here in the front. Come now. Just push your way. Don't you lose courage. Every one of us had to come. Every one of us had to come. We rejoice that you're coming the same way as we did. We're waiting. We're waiting. Hallelujah, sir. soul winners. You know if you are. Come, don't hesitate. You ladies, come take the ladies downstairs, two rooms. Only ladies with ladies, only men with men. Come now, soul winners, don't hesitate. I don't want to wait. You that know how to pray with souls, come get up, please. Come. It's your privilege. It's what you live for. Don't lose it. Take them by the hand. Don't preach another sermon. Just pray with them and pray the words if they're not praying right. For the blood to wash them. For the Holy Ghost to come into them. For Christ to come in their heart by faith. And make them new creatures in Christ and the Holy Spirit to bear witness. But just make sure they look to the blood. Come. We need other soul winners here, please. Where are the soul winners? Come quickly now. I don't want to point to people I know love God, but I will. Come help these men. As God puts it in your heart, that you can, you come now. Don't let someone stand waiting. Come now. And even if you keep coming as unsaved, yes, you come. More will help. Just keep coming. Pray through now. Can we all stand, please? The whole of heaven rejoices if one sinner repents. Every living being in heaven is rejoicing. If you're not, they are. Because they know what it cost God.